Chapter 12, Maria's Tortured Childlike Mind. While Steve was in the hospital, Maria felt lost. She suffered from the childlike delusion that she was incapable of taking care of herself and went to the free clinic to get prescription psychiatric meds. She didn't know whether she was grown up or just a child. She rationalized that she was a child of God, and this was the reason she felt so small. Just like Steve, she was prescribed the wrong drug. She lived in a tortured innocence similar to what he was also experiencing. Maria believed that the side effects of her meds were normal, just as Steve had, and that her resulting anguish was appropriate punishment for her sins and the purpose of the meds. In truth, the pills made her nearly psychotic. Lonely and needing company, she went to the observatory where she and Steve had learned to build telescopes. She wanted to speak with one of the women there who she hoped would mentor her during her confusion and childlike chaos. The members of the group were polishing mirrors, and Maria began talking casually but felt withdrawn. "Hello, Kathy," she said hesitantly. "I don't know whether you remember me. I am Maria. I am sure you've seen me here with Steve. I was wondering if you could help me with some problems I am having. You seem to be a nice person, and I know you and your husband do excellent research with telescopes, and I thought you might be able to, well, mentally guide me." Maria thought for a moment and said, "I am fighting some psychic problems, and I'm taking medication for it." "I'd be glad to help," said the woman. "First of all, you don't have to be afraid to approach me. I can see that you're doubting yourself, and you just need a little sympathy. Tell me what the problem is." The woman's smile was gentle and compassionate, her eyes kind. "I guess I feel inadequate as a woman. I think I overdid myself using pot and psychedelics, and I don't feel motherly or womanly. I feel like a miscreant and a child. They put me on psychiatric meds about 4 months ago. It's hell. But I guess chemical punishment is what I need. Maybe punishment will make my mind stop thinking about voices and things. I hear voices that tell me I am only a child and not a woman," Maria confessed. "When I talked to the doctor at the clinic in a therapy session, he didn't seem to understand. There was this one person in the group session who seemed a little worse off than me, even though I sometimes feel as inadequate as he did when he spoke. He talked about how people don't understand him and how they couldn't accept him for what he was. He was wearing one of those medieval jester hats. He went on and on about how his therapist threw his guilt out of proportion. He kept saying how they couldn't digest the jester, and all these doctors were chewing their cuds, trying to digest little bits of guilt over and over, unable to accept even the smallest bit of guilt without rehashing it to prove that he wasn't remorseful. He guessed that he would have to accept being considered demented." The other woman nodded. "I felt inadequate at times, too, about motherhood. Maybe I was a little neurotic when I was younger." "One just has to be practical." She gazed at Maria appraisingly. "You seem practical. I remember hearing Steve talk about your band and your bagel business. It starts with one small step and goes from there." The woman continued, "My mother guru is Mata Hari. She was supposedly spying for the Germans during World War I. I don't think she was. It might be my neurotic attachment to her, but I respect her. Anyway, my family can closely trace relationship to her family. That's why I really can't shake my feeling about her. I learned about her when I was young and wanted to become a spy or a private detective. I finally became one, you know," she said, smiling at Maria's shocked expression. "Maybe you didn't know that." She paused. "When one is determining one's own guilt, one has to be fair. You said you feel like a miscreant. Young people are sometimes illogical and gluttons for guilt. They think because one grain of sand is the same as the rest, real guilt is based on minor guilt, as if one is guilty no matter what. That is not a total truth." They were sitting next to a dot matrix printer that was noisily printing out astronomical information. Kathy said, "You see that printer? The letters it makes are made up of dots. It takes several dots to make up one letter. Let's imagine something. Let's call total guilt one word. It takes many dots to make up that one word on a dot matrix printer. Now let's take the word assumption. It takes tens or hundreds of dots to make up the word assumption. In the same way, your mind makes up tens of dots or bits of information to decide guilt. It is easy for the mind to make all that up. Guilt must be proved. The illogical mind will decide guilt with only a few hints, dots, or bits of information. One shouldn't be like a prosecutor who relies on the least amount of proof. One should be like a defender who relies on the solid letter of the law, which is made out of many pieces or dots, to prove guilt thoroughly. This is all material. This concept of evidence could be called matter. Matter is fact, as in matrix, in dot matrix, matter relating to the word matrix. You may think this is a little obtuse, but let's go back to your fears about your own motherhood. The word matter, as in matrix, also relates to the word mother. A mother relies on facts about her children, not on incomplete arbitrary proof. Emotions can indicate the concern for the right type of truth, too, so you mustn't leave all your motherly emotions out of an analysis. That's why I don't leave Mata Hari out, because she was a mother and a woman. Now let's consider another word, intentional, as it would be created by this dot matrix printer. Intention has to be set in material evidence. The word is rooted in its Phoenician letters and has been made by history into a concrete word, not an uncertain, poorly defined opinion. In relation to the intentions of Mata Hari, she lived a somewhat risque lifestyle, but whether you can connect the dots and prove she was intentionally spying for the Germans is left in the air. As to whether she was a double agent, I don't think there's enough material evidence or enough dots to prove that this woman was spying for the Germans. Mother and material go together, and I think Mata Hari was a good mother, even though her children died young. If you know the story, somebody poisoned her children. It was awful. I might mention coincidentally that I think the word Mata in Mata Hari possibly relates to the word matter also, as languages interweave with each other. Intention is determined by taking the juxtaposing view, like the absolutist German view or the cold prosecutor's view. It is possible that the cold Germanic logic influenced the court to execute Mata Hari, even though she was indicted by us, not the Germans. I'm not saying prosecutors are like Germans, but there is some of that there. The Germans wanted to accuse people, I think. They were radically conservative. The position at opposite poles is the anarchist, of course. You have never taken the side of anarchy or rebellion for rebellion's sake, or joined the other side because you have assumed all your truths to be self-evident, like the American Constitution. But you probably have found that all individual truths can be partially biased, too. That's what compromise is for. You probably aren't old enough or absolutist enough to pick sides. But I'm sure you never had to choose sides and that you possess a lot of trust in humanity. You've heard that little rhyme, Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? If it was about any real Mary, I doubt she was actually contrary in any way. And you being named Maria, I don't think that makes you contrary either. Or does it make Mother Mary contrary? Of course, there is the Mary in marijuana. It may have its problems and not be as tame as cockle shells, per se, but before you realize how it can cause neurosis, you probably thought it was as tame as cockle shells. I've smoked pot, too, so I know. I am familiar with psychiatric meds, too. I have a cousin who takes them. It took months before they found the right pills to stabilize her. I'll go with you to your doctor, and I'll talk to him about that. We'll try to get you on one that is easier to take. I notice you have a tremor. Maybe they can put you on something that won't cause that tremor. Maria smiled timidly. You have been like the Buddha for me, enlightening me with your mentorship. I feel like a mother already, she said. She was still confused, mainly because the meds she was on were causing her to think with an uncontrolled neurotic imagination. I would appreciate you going to the doctor with me. Thank you. Maria furrowed her brow. I have another question. This may be just in my head, too, but I have this birth certificate that has smudges on it, as if somebody had erased something on it. Do you have any access to any equipment that could analyze what words were really on it? I have doubts that my parents are my real parents because of the way they treated me. And I think there is something phony about this document. Could you analyze it? I could pay you. I kept thinking that the government enlisted somebody to replace my real parents, just as they replaced the political figureheads who ran my country. It's odd that they plan to kill even them, but criminals are known to kill their own kind. I would like to start a movement to change the government down there. Start small and build a website where interested people could link up. I know it's crazy, but maybe we could take it to Congress and have a congressional hearing about it. That is a little grandiose and is probably my mental illness talking, but I can't help thinking it is possible. Kathy smiled. Nothing is impossible. I can see you're capable of great things. As to your identification, we regularly check document authenticity where I work, and I'd be glad to check it out for you. Just don't become too attached to the idea that such a thing is possible without proof. You are a wonderful worker. I go to see my doctor tomorrow at 4:30 at the free clinic in The Hague. Can you be there? Of course. I'll see you tomorrow, Kathy said. It was late. After gazing through a few of the telescopes at the observatory, Maria went home. On the train, she started daydreaming. She began to entertain unusual ideas to aggrandize her empty life. I'm a nobody, or maybe I'm the reincarnation of Mata Hari? She thought about that for a while. She puzzled over Mata Hari like an imaginary friend or like a child with a teddy bear. But she thought about what she had been told at the observatory, and she felt unsure about her motherhood, just as her friend had been trying to explain. "I'm assuming things again. I have no proof that I'm reincarnated," she said to herself, trying to dispel her poorly thought-out fantasy. She continued musing ever more unclearly, the medication tainting her grasp of reality. "Maybe that ID will prove to be phony, and then there'll be real intrigue in my life. It's a funny fantasy to believe I'm Mata Hari. I won't believe it. I'll upstage the trickster in me that plays such jokes in my mind. That's like being a real detective or Mata Hari, but I will wait to see what this ID turns out to be. It sure looks phony to me." Later, feeling depressed and unstable, Maria went to bed alone. As she drifted off to sleep, she fantasized about her namesake, Mother Mary, because Mother Mary was an immaculate and possibly sterile mother. She lay in bed angry, entertaining fantasies about her own prowess and feeling much like her namesake, Mother Mary. She muttered, "They should sterilize some of these sex fiends that we have in the world and end their reproduction, she being a sexually tame woman." As sleep stole over her, she hoped that she could have a baby. As she lapsed into a surreal dream, she thought, "I wonder if you could graft a part of one person onto another person. Are there different species of people that can't breed with each other? Like certain species of plants? Can a person named Mueller create an ass? If marijuana is called Mary, how does it reproduce?" She tried to wake up from her confusion, but couldn't. She faded into another dream where she dreamt she and Steve were sunflowers and a scientist wanted to pollinate them. Speaking with a heavy German accent, the scientist exclaimed, "We won't have to clone or graft these two flower children because they are gone magnificently to pot. They are a perfect match." He cut and trimmed the plants and it hurt, so Maria woke up. She tried hard to focus. "I'm having these dreams because I am named after Mary Immaculate. They're sex dreams. Why am I babbling so much? These pills make me so depressed. I hope tomorrow I can get a different pill." The next day was very successful, as Kathy was able to beseech the psychiatrist to prescribe more effective medication. After about a month of experimentation, Maria was stabilized.